would turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
Lots of things are going on in the world today. You watch the news, it's depressing. Shooting, killing, running over people, bombs. What do we do? What do we do when things go bad? I've been studying about this and thinking about this week. What are we going to do when things continue to get worse? What do we do as Christians? What do we do as dads? What do we do as moms? What do we do as parents, as husbands, wives, children? What are we going to do? Sitting there before I come up here this morning, right here on this pew, I thought to myself, what do we do when things are falling apart? And I thought about my wife. When a member of a family gets weak, what do you do? She got strong. Not that she wasn't strong before the sickness of Jay, but she got strong. The weaker he got, the stronger she got. Because he could not carry himself anymore, she would carry him. The one thing that we told him when he first got sick was this: son, you do for yourself as long as you can, and when you can't do it anymore, we're going to do it for you. So when do I need to be my strongest? Tim needs to be my strongest when my family, my loved ones, this congregation is at its weakest point. You need to be your strongest when your family, your friends, your loved ones, and this congregation is at its weakest point, because then you can help protect us. I know of a woman who was a faithful member of the body of Christ. And life got hard. Got real hard for her. Her marriage was falling apart. Bad things were happening inside that marriage and her life, and she became depressed. Been doing some reading this week on depression. I forgot what the percent of us, talking about us, face depression in our life. It's a very high percent of people that face depression in their life. Some grit their teeth and work through it. That's not to say they're better than the ones that can't grit their teeth and go through it, but some people never go to the doctor. Somehow they're stronger, maybe they have better support at home. I don't know what the cases are. I didn't read everything about it, but they said most people go through depression at some point in their life, and this woman went through depression. Matter of fact, she got to the point in her life and she didn't want to live anymore. I don't know what went through her mind. But she was ready to give up on life. Didn't want to live anymore. She gathered up pills. poured them in her hand, put them in her mouth, and chased them down with water or something. She was found before she died. Before the pills could take effect and take her life, someone found her. When they found her, she was screaming and crying, "I want to die. I don't want to live." She tried running out when they found her in front of cars, trying to be killed and run over by a car. She wanted to leave this life in her mind at that time. How strong are you? How strong am I? When our brothers and sisters, when our nation, when our world, when I... whoever you want to put there, when it's at its weakest, we have got to be stronger. I, for one, don't want to lay down and quit. We've got to have something within ourselves, a fight inside ourselves that says, when everything else goes bad, I'm still going to stand where I stand. And I'm going to fight that fight. You know, Paul dealt with that, and he encouraged us to take a stand. Be ye steadfast. What did he say after steadfast? Be ye steadfast. What was that word? Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. When people are at their weakest, we have got to be stronger. The March of the Penguins. A documentary, The March of the Penguins, follows an emperor's penguins of Antarctica in an incredible journey through ice and snow to mating grounds up to a 70-mile island. It's narrated by Morgan Freeman. It says, this beautiful film captures the drama of these 3-foot-high birds in the most difficult of environments. Once the males have reached the breeding grounds and have been given the responsibility for the eggs, they override their competitive nature and they form a team for the sake of their survival. As a massive storm sets in, vicious winds pelt the penguins, which are huddled now in a single mass. As the view alternates from close-ups of ice-caked penguins, a view then is shot of the huddled penguins. Freeman narrates and says this, as the fathers settle into a long wait at the breeding grounds, the temperature is now 80 degrees below zero. That's without taking into account the wind, which can blow 100 miles per hour. Though they can be aggressive during the rest of the year, at this time the males are totally docile. A united team. They brace against the storm by merging their thousands of bodies into one single mass. They will take turns, each of them getting to spend more time near the center of the huddle where it's warmer. This article I found says, what a picture of the church at her best. Build your life on sharing the fellowship of Christ. The penguins love to fight during the rest of the time of season, but when they come together for this purpose, they all huddle together, and they are even rotating, this story says, rotating so the ones that are standing on the outside where it's the coldest, they don't have to stay out there all the time. They're rotating where we can stay warm. You see that picture in your mind for just a minute? Can you see the picture that I'm trying to paint this morning as I think and I talk about the church and all the things going on in the world today? Where are we going to stand? If few weeks ago, Steve on Wednesday night had a lesson, and he dealt with, I taught it one Wednesday night, and the next Wednesday night he come back with the same verse where he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, when we think about that verse and we apply that to our life, for me to live is Christ, what does that really mean in my life, for me to live is Christ? What is that? In other words, as long as I'm living on this earth, each day that I live on this earth, I am going to impact other people's lives for Christ. All to Jesus I surrender. When we obey the gospel, and if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, in just a few minutes we're about to extend the invitation song, and I hope that you will think about your life and you will think about where you stand with God. In class this morning, if you're not coming to Bible class, come an hour earlier. Come in here and study with us. Open the Bible with us. Share your ideas. Share your thoughts. Let's study and learn together. Let's make sure that we're getting the very most out of our time together when we come together for Bible study and worship. Let's put everything we've got into it. So I'm going to tell you, we're living in a world today that we need each other. We need each other, and we need the Word of God, and we need to know what it is. Folks, the stronger we get in the faith, the better we're going to stand. I want to be grounded in the truth. I want to be unmovable when something's coming at me that Nick's always going to know that Tim's going to stand exactly where he stands. But in a few minutes, we're going to sing a song. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ and He's the Son of God, make a decision in your life that I'm going to act on that. I'm going to be a different person. I'm not going to be like the rest of the world. I'm going to be like Christ. And I'm going to live my life that way. And I'm going to turn away from sin. You know, we all have sin. Your preacher, he sins. But we got to fight that urge. We got to fight those thoughts. We got to fight those actions. We got to say, I'm not going to continue to do that. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. You know, we talk a lot about sin and we talk about how we do sin, but we don't need to willfully sin. There are folks today that's living in sin. They're wallowing in it. Maybe you're here this morning, you have sin in your life, and you know that you're sinning, and you continue to do it over and over and over and over again. You are willfully sinning. You have made a decision that I am not going to give up this sin. Now, I understand that there's difficult sins. There's things that we get in our life. There are addictions in life. There's problems that we get into. There's holes that we dig that we can't just walk away from. And I know it's a battle. I know it's a battle sometimes to overcome sin. But Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 says, if we sin willfully, there remains no more what? What is it? Sacrifice for our sins. There was a sacrifice that was made for our sins, and that was the death of Jesus Christ, His blood that was shed. That sacrifice was made. And when we turn away from sin and we repent of those sins, that blood washes those sins away. But there are folks that make up their mind and they say, I am not going to live for Jesus. Some people just like to ride the fence. Sometimes I'm going to do what's right. On Sunday mornings, I'm going to do what's right. And then the rest of the week, I'm going to do what I want. Folks, there's not two lifestyles when you're a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not. You're either faithful to God or you're not. If you're willing to turn away from sin, confess that Jesus is Lord, then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the very simple and plain plan of salvation. But we have to be dedicated each day of our lives. fighting that battle. In just a few minutes, we're going to sing an invitation song, and we're going to encourage you to do that. And that's where I was at in my thought. I don't mean to repeat myself. I'm getting back on track here in my mind. The text that was read for us just a few minutes ago, turn there for just a minute in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into in all things which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Think about those penguins for just a minute. Think about everything that's going on in the world today. Where do you want to be today? Where do you want to be when problems arise? You know, if trouble starts happening, I like to be at home. I told y'all a few years ago when Aunt Millie was still living, Granddaddy Glenn was still living, and everybody lived down here on Oak Grove Road, the whole family, mother. Bad storms come for about a week. I don't remember how long ago that was, but every night we're having tornado warnings, and they was coming. You know what we did? We got the whole family together in the same house. You know, looking back, that wasn't a lot of wisdom in that, was it, really? Because y'all would have been rid of us for good. Because if the tornado hit our house, we were all right there together. I would go get Granddaddy. He couldn't walk, and I'd go pick up Aunt Millie, get her there. Mother couldn't get there. They all come to our house, and we would all be there together. We would watch the TV, and we would see where it was going. We always headed toward Carroll County. We'd hunker down. But, you know, we all wanted to be together. We felt safer when everybody was together. Where do you want to be when problems arise? You want to be with people that you love and people that love you. Turn to Acts chapter 2 with me. Acts chapter 2. When you think about a Christian, you think about living a Christian life, and you think about the church, starting in verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Skip down to verse 45, and it says, and they sold their possessions and good, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. You know, you're talking about a group of people here that care about each other and love each other because they continued every day what they had been taught. And then it says they went and they sold what they had and they give it to the people that needed it. Now, folks, if that's not love, I don't know what love is. Now, think about these penguins for just a minute. We're rotating in, and those that's coldest, we're bringing them in where it's warmer, and we're continuing to rotate. So what? Why do they do that? You know? So they can survive. Everyone can survive. You come to the middle to get warm. You work your way back out so the other people that's cold can get warm. Same thing going on right here. Look at verse 46. And they continued daily in one accord, and in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house did they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, gratitude should be the cause that we serve God. We should be so thankful is the reason that we give our service to God each and every day of our life. Because we have life and we have the world that we live and we have loved ones and we have all the blessings. Monty, when he prayed that everything that we have comes from heaven. You know, all good things that we have in our life, it comes from God. And gratitude should force us to want to serve Him and please Him. And not only Him, but to grow the kingdom of God. We're living in a world today that appears from time to time it's falling apart. And I'm going to tell you what's causing it, and every one of you know it. It's evil. When we let evil in our lives, when we let evil in our home, when we let evil in our country, and it becomes so popular that everybody starts acting on it, you know, evil's like a cancer. If you let sin in your life, it's going to take over your life. And it's not long till your old heart will become just like that right there. Just as hard as it can be. And you're not thinking about God anymore. And you're not thinking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're not thinking about anyone but yourself and pleasing self. What can I do to enjoy life? How can I go on and have a good time? There is a day coming. We may get away with whatever we want to on this earth. We may be able to steal from people. We may be able to get by with all kinds of breaking of laws and sin in this world. But there is a day coming that everyone is going to give an account to God. I'm going to tell you, God knows all those people that got run over. God knows all those people who've been shot. God knows the one that's doing these evil things. And he knows the one that's suffering. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be when trouble starts happening? I want to be in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 says he is the Savior of the body. We want to be in the middle. We want to be in the middle of the church. And the worse it gets, the stronger we have to get. This morning, if you're not a Christian, are you willing to surrender your life to God this morning? We hope and pray that you will think about your soul, think about your condition, think about where you want to spend eternity. We don't mention hell a lot. Seems like it's my fault because I have the opportunity to do it. But there are two places. There's heaven and there's hell. We have a choice to make. The choice is ours. Do we want to go to heaven and spend all eternity, or do we want to spend our eternity in hell? Tried to encourage someone here a while back about their life. They made a statement to me, and my jaw just dropped. They considered earth hell. They considered their life hell. And this person said the only difference between here, me, my life, and hell is hell is going to be a little hotter. That was a response I got from someone. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if y'all paid attention in class this morning. David's made this statement a few times. But he points out that we're just a dot right here in the time of eternity. We're here at this point. It's very, 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 very small. You couldn't even measure it really, could you, David? Because eternity goes on from now on. And if we're here for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, let's say Brother Jimmy this morning said that he's good for another 100 years because of the procedure he had. That's going to put him 174 or 176, I forgot which way. But let's just say if that was the case, and you made it 176 years, you still can't measure that dot, can you, David? Couldn't even see it. It's our choice where we're going to spend. And as bad as life may be here, you may think, we can endure knowing what's coming. That's why in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, I believe it says, be thou faithful unto death. Even if it causes death, you be faithful to God. Because then you'll receive that crown of righteousness. If you're here and you've been unfaithful to God and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, come right now while we sing.